Real Radio. This edition is going to be for the week of Monday, October 24th, 2011. My name is Greg Stanwood. I'm a staff writer at PurpleRow.com, and I'm here along, as always, with the managing editor of Purple Row, Andrew Martin. Andrew, how are you?
Is the 31st really a Monday? Like, Halloween's a Monday?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, man, really? Like that, I was going to wear my Halloween costume into work on Friday and be like, hey, Halloween, but now there's, like, an actual Halloween. It's like everyone just going to pretend that the actual holiday isn't falling on that Monday, but like, just, like, deny it because it's not a convenient weekend day.
Why don't you just show up in a costume on Friday just for kicks, and you'll be the only one, and then not wear it on Monday when everyone else is?
Will I be the only one, though? That's what I'm kind of wondering. Will people be like, oh, it's Halloween weekend, and just for, you know, kind of ignore that it's on Monday? Because who does a Halloween party on Monday night?
I don't know. I've never been to a Halloween party.
Maybe our guest does.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. I was wondering if we were just going to talk about Halloween and ignore our guest. I'd like to welcome into the discussion Paul Agnello. You know him from Purple Row as Resolution in the comment section. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
Now, are we pronouncing it right? Paul?
Paul, yeah, Paul.
It's not Powell or...
Or Powell. That's more what I was worried about.
Yeah,
right?
It's had many iterations, but I go by the traditional Paul.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Anyhow, welcome.
Thank you.
So, originally we were planning to do a show last week for the, after the divisional series were done, but unfortunately, time kind of got away from me, and then Andrew went on vacation, and everything got a little bit mucked up from there. But we're back, we're kind of in the middle of the World Series, we're recording this right now as we're in the middle of Game 3, and I guess the first topic of discussion here is just anything postseason related, World Series, or just any thoughts on what we've seen so far.
Well, Paul, I hear this dirty rumor that you're living in New York right now. Did the city burst into flame with the Yankees losing yet another divisional series?
I think, people, it's the typical stuff, right? People expect the Yankees to go all the way, and when they don't, it's just kind of a lot of people muttering obscenities and just, trying to find people to blame, kind of like, the Rockies situation.
Oh, yeah.
And then, kind of, I guess this confidence that next year will be, the year will number two will lead them to the World Series again, right? Same deal.
Isn't that how this works? Like, is it could take a couple years off and Derek Jeter, like, performs magic and, eats someone and swallows their essence and, becomes 32 years old again?
Pretty much. I think he's going to try to eat Giuliani this year and then, channel his inner power and just carry them. In a way, it's kind of a weird parallel to Colorado, where both fan bases are angry and then kind of hoping on number two, to carry them back next year.
Yeah,
but
that's kind of funny, actually. I was going to say that John Elway is the one eating people's souls over here in Denver, because it's Denver, and we're a Broncos fan, but with teeth like that, dude, I'm pretty sure you could just, like, bite your door down and then just take you out.
Yeah, easily.
Do you need teeth to eat a soul?
Well, I don't know. I have to go watch Mortal Kombat again, I think.
I would advise against that.
Yeah, it was on demand the other night, and like Carlos actually, our third roommate, stayed up like all night and watched the freaking movie, and I got halfway through and I was like, okay, like I need to go to bed, and this is not good enough to stay up late for.
I just think it's funny you described him as your third roommate, because I'm not sure everybody knows who your other roommate is, even though
I live with Matt Musia, for those of you who weren't completely aware, and then our other roommate, Carlos, and then we have a cat as well named Samuel Davis Jr.
Yes.
Greg, to go back, to answer your question, yes, you do need teeth. I'm sorry. Okay, go on.
I didn't know souls were that tangible, that chewy.
I mean, think about it. Are you really going to eat a soul without teeth?
Yeah, you could drink it.
Nah, that's lame.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Seems like, I wonder if it's like wafer. You know what? We're not talking about baseball anymore. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that eating souls is what Derek Jeter does for a living outside of that baseball thing. He'll probably be in his own episode of, like, SVU or something before you know it.
Probably. By the way, Cardinals-Rangers 8-6 now.
Holy smokes.
All right.
There
it was 8-4 when I checked the score last, or 8-3, actually, and then the Facebooks kind of exploded, because, oh my.
It was actually 5-0 when I was last paying attention, So... this is all news to me. I'm backing the Rangers here. Is anybody else with me, or is everybody St. Louis here?
I'm personally for the Cardinals. My road trip was to St. Louis to go see the Cardinals in the NLCS, and, you know, I made some friends out there, and I'm pretty sure they'd, you know, stop being my friends if I rooted for the Rangers.
Okay.
I found myself originally favoring the Rangers, and now I kind of am torn between the Rangers and just trying to see Matt Holliday win, you know? I don't know.
See, Matt Holliday winning, I feel that's such an awkward thing, because, you know, it's like watching your ex go be happy and go on dates and stuff like that. It's a weird feeling to it. I was, when I was in St. Louis, I was asking people wearing holiday jerseys how they enjoyed, you know, dating the player that we already dated, you know, getting our sloppy seconds. And then he hit a home run, like, immediately after that. I'm like, all right, never mind.
Yeah. I found myself increasingly just wishing that we had traded him to Oakland and then somehow just re-signed him after that year.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's what I really think about, but, you know, it's not possible.
That hurts me just to think about the idea of a left field Matt Holliday, center field Fowler, right field Carlos Gonzalez.
Nasty.
That just hurts to think about.
Yeah.
Well, now that we're all depressed, like that out of the four. See, it's a weird World Series. Is that when the four? Well, that's not really weird, but when the four teams went up, Milwaukee, St. Louis, Detroit, and Texas, I thought for sure that Detroit and St. Louis or Detroit and Milwaukee were going to go to the World Series, and we'll have like an all, you know, Northern World Series. But then St. Louis goes ahead and beats Milwaukee, and Detroit crumples like a, you know, like a deflated souffle, and well, here we are.
Yeah, I kind of lucked out this year. For some reason, all four of the teams that I wanted to advance from the divisional series actually made it, and that never happens. But I was backing Milwaukee for the National League, and unfortunately that didn't work out. But
the good thing was with this NLCS, with the CS both series, I was okay with whoever won.
Yeah, I didn't really have any enemies in the. I guess the only reason I have to not want the Cardinals to win is simply because they're already pretty much the most successful National League franchise. And, you know, I'm not going to be upset if they win again. I just think it's cool to see somebody like Texas after, you know, 51 years of never winning, getting a chance to add that to their CV, if you will.
Yeah. Well, what about you, Paul? Did you have a horse in this particular race?
Just Rays and Brewers were kind of the two teams I was pulling for, and they both did what the Rays and Brewers respectively do, which is not make it to the World Series and not win. And once the Brewers were knocked out, I was kind of bummed out. I just wanted to see Prince win or you know, just I thought they were just a better team. They should have done it, but after that, now I'm just kind of in this weird no man's land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a pretty good friend up in Wisconsin who kind of got me into the Brewers this year. Just I followed them a lot more closely than I normally would, and I really did get to like a lot of the players on their team more so than I did before. So I was definitely in their camp. Disappointing not to see them make it all the way, but you know, all things considered, especially since you know they've seen some success back a couple few years ago, 3-4. I think I would be pretty proud of their season if I were an up-and-out Brewers fan.
Well, I'm frustrated. I wanted Milwaukee to go all the way because they did everything that we kind of – I think a lot of people deep down wish the Rockies would do. Just go all in and try to get us some, you know, upgrade everything and go for it. You know, pick up a Granke, pick up a Markham, and see where it takes you.
It would have been an excellent story. I think my other main reason was just Nigel Morgan.
You would like Nigel Morgan, wouldn't you?
Oh man, just seeing him go off after they win, it would make everything okay.
It was disappointing that he didn't make just for him. I mean, when I was in St. Louis, oh man, after the nonsense between him and Carpenter, like just the amount of booing every time he came to the plate, every time he did anything. Was just outstanding. So yeah, the World Series. It's good matchups. You got good teams. Like the Cardinals are one of the most exciting stories in baseball. Frankly, I mean, being practically out of it. You know, five out with 15 left. and then going all the way to the World Series. Well, Texas, you know, you got your reigning AL champs are back in the saddle again, so to speak. That was awful. Anyway, they're there again, and now they're. But the thing is, now they're up against a team that I don't hate. So I'm like, crap, what do we do now?
Flip a coin.
Honestly, I just want to see a good series, and so far this has been a good series. Going, splitting the first two games, and then going to where we are now, 8-6 with the bases jacked, two outs in the fifth inning.
Yeah, and of course this is a complete departure from the type of gameplay we saw in the first two, which was just all pitching. Fantastic performances there.
Well, Kyle Loesch has been doing this all postseason, you know? He's been starting to be looking okay, looking okay, looking okay, bam, turns into a pumpkin. Like that's just pretty what he does here. I mean, three innings, two home runs. I mean, he didn't look much better in game four in St. Louis. I mean, he went three strong innings and then all of a sudden just became pitching machine, and everybody, you know, was just teeing off him all game long. Well, after the, except for the first three innings.
No, when you last three total innings, it doesn't even matter. You're not having a good game.
No, I mean. This is like the Ian Kinsler is not clutch apparently. This is the World Series. It's either you're pitching like a complete ace and going full games, or you're one of like you're a Josh Fogg type, you're a Kyle Loesch type, and you're gonna go as until the manager starts getting a little iffy about you, and then you're getting yanked.
And then because you have like nine people in your bullpen, it's not really a problem to take you out after three or four or so forth.
Yeah, exactly. And Lord knows that Tony La Russa is using everybody in his bullpen every game.
Yeah, didn't the Cardinals relievers pitch more innings than their starters in the championship series?
Seemed that
I wouldn't be surprised. I did not recall that fact.
I think I read that on Twitter somewhere, so don't quote me on it, but I think that's what happened. That's pretty incredible.
I think every starter had a two-inning max, so that wouldn't be surprising at all.
25 pitches.
I think Tony La Russa just likes making the walk to the mound. Like, he likes being on TV and stuff. I mean, so that's why he's always pulling everyone and making double switches, just so he can get out of the dugout and stretch his legs a little bit, you know?
Yeah, if it comes to it and they don't have anybody to start game four, he'll just pitch the game himself.
Probably. He'll activate Wainwright.
Oh, God.
And then he'll just put on Wainwright's jersey and pitch for him.
I still think this is what makes this
thing. Sorry, what?
I was just going to say this is what makes this postseason that much more interesting for St. Louis is that they made it all the way here without Adam Wainwright.
Yeah, right. Early on when in the season when that news was coming out, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to try and downplay the significance of having Adam Wainwright in your rotation, but at the same time, you know, they never haven't had a good team, and wow, that was like a quadruple negative. They've never been in a position where I really was. I mean, obviously, they didn't look like they were going to make the postseason there at the end until Atlanta collapsed. But at the same time, you know, I never really ruled them out. Not necessarily against Milwaukee because they were the favorites to actually win the division, but at the same time, you know, I didn't think it was the death sentence that a lot of people thought it was.
It's just a strong figure falling off, and that's always bad to see. I mean, the Rockies saw Ubaldo fall off, and look how far we made it.
Yeah, oh, so far.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still a little depressed. It's been a bad season. We should probably step off the postseason because I'm starting to get depressed.
Which is why I said basically spent our last episode basically saying, okay, it's been one day since 2011 ended. It's time to get over 2011 because we're just going to wallow in depression.
I need a decompression period. Honestly, I wish you could shut the site down for a couple days just to everyone go do something else. Show's over. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here, folks. Clear out. Give these guys some room to breathe, and then we all go and like have this big party in like Cozumel or something like that. And
what?
This is blogging life, baby.
Okay.
We should have closed all the comments sections and just kind of walked the site through the five stages of death or whatever it is. Finally, we're in the acceptance stage that our team is kind of mediocre right now.
Uh-huh. Once we hit the day five with the with the acceptance, then we'll open the comments back up once you feel that it's gone.
You don't
want to
be in the bargaining stage when people are like, no, 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 we'll take you Baldo back and it'll be okay. We'll give you whatever. The bargaining stage is the worst. So once we clear that, I think
we're still in the bargaining stage until we've stopped acquiring people for the off season because we're still in the like we'll trade anything for David Wright because he's David Wright. Period. That'll fix everything.
Yeah, but we promise Ian Stewart will try harder. That'll make everything better, right?
I'll
stop tweeting.
No, this is, for those of you who didn't see this season, we kind of envy you. This may have been the most disappointing season in Rockies history. They were the most disappointing team in Major League Baseball. That's pretty much for sure.
Mm-hmm. Only people that come close is Minnesota.
You could very easily put the Red Sox in there as well.
I suppose.
The offseason acquisition they made, well, at least that one guy at first base, what's his name? Lars something?
Lars Anderson?
Yeah, him. He was the new first baseman, right?
Well, no.
The joke is Adrian Gonzalez, and that's the joke.
Well, yeah, I was confused for a moment. I was about to say Adrian Gonzalez, and then Lars. What are you talking about?
I think
about?
The joke is that it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
Well, the joke is that Lars Anderson was like supposed to be all the hotshot crap, and everyone watch out for Lars Anderson, and if the Red Sox don't call up, he's gonna be like this ultimate trade, kind of like Jesus Montero of the Yankees, like this super hotshot prospect who's gonna be untouchable, and oh my god, everyone's gonna want him and stuff like that. But there's no way they're gonna use him, or maybe they'll trade him, and everyone's talking about him as part of their big trade package and stuff, and then he just kind of flamed out. Except Jesus Montero hasn't flamed out.
Lars Anderson was a beneficiary of the Theo Epstein halo effect.
That's So which Cubs prospect is going to be like all the big highlight of Baseball America now?
Who's that one guy that Vitters or whatever?
Yeah, Josh, that's right.
Oh man.
Anyways, we were talking about the only thing we don't really know anything so far this off season. The only stuff we do know is. Who's been cut from the roster already, which is mostly depth guys like Jim Miller, for example. Who else, Greg? J.C. Romero's cut as well, wasn't he?
Nope. He's just going to leave as a free agent, so there's really reason to do it now. I mean,
let's hope so.
Oh, yeah. So Miller's gone.
We outrighted six players. We outrighted, obviously Kevin Kuzmanoff was the biggest name on that list. He, when you are outrighted, not to get all transaction crazy on everybody, but when you're outrighted once, or you have 3 years of service time, no matter what, if you're outrighted again, you can refuse the assignment. Kuzmanoff had both of those, so he was basically like, yeah, I'm just gonna go to free agency. Jim Miller, and the rest, which were Matt Daly, Greg Reynolds, Jose Morales, and I guess that's everybody. They all went to, straight to, minor league contracts that kind of fill in for, this year. We're gonna have Daly leave as a free agent. Morales will. Miller already did. He requested to leave early. Reynolds and, Corey Riordan was the other one. Both are still contracted with the team for next year.
Oh, there you go. I mean, who? What? Huh?
Daly just left. Daly's gone. He could be a free agent, rather.
He will be a minor league free agent unless we, sign him to another 1 year minor league contract. Right. See, basically, when you're outrighted from the roster, you kind of fall back on your old minor league contract. And, Daly's minor league contract expired last year. So he basically fell into a 1 year contract, which is kind of funny when you think about it, because that 1 year contract is going to be for 6 weeks of not playing baseball.
Yeah.
And then when that contract expires, he's a free agent.
Okay.
And it's the same with Jose Morales. Will also follow that pattern. But the other two, Reynolds' contract expires next year, and then Riordan's in 2013. So we could release them, but I assume they're just going to keep both of them to, fill the Sky Sox rotation.
I guess that has to happen.
we can only sign so many Claudio Vargases.
Oh, God. It's a little disappointing about Matt Daly, but I mean, obviously nothing, it's really his fault. Injuries happen, that's too bad.
Hey, but, he was from New York, I was obligated to ask about him. You know, that was it.
Do y'all like sign a contract or something that says you'll like care about other New Yorkers when you move in?
Yo, no joke, when I went to, I think it was when the Rockies were at Yankee Stadium this past year, I bumped into a couple members of the Daly family.
Oh really? How'd you know it was them?
Because, let me tell you, if you go to Yankee Stadium and you see four white people all standing around wearing Daly jerseys...
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
Matt Daly's family. There's no doubt about it. So I went up, I was like, hey, do you guys know Matt Daly? And they were like, yeah, we know him. We're like his cousin. I'm like, awesome, I'm the one other Rockies fan at the game. And they were like, all right. And that was it.
I should have made the connection. I ran into Jason Gurley's family when he was with the Rockies a few years back, and they were all wearing Gurley jerseys, and hey, how's it going? Or like maybe his wife's a realtor, and they bought his house from, I don't know, something like that. They had a connection to Jason Gurley. It's kind of, oh yeah, of course they'd be all wearing jerseys of the guy they're supporting. What was I thinking? But yeah, Daly's a bit disappointing to see him go, just because, you know, he's kind of a fan favorite, the little scrappy come out of nowhere, undrafted free agent, makes the majors, and, you know, really good strikeout numbers, and then he just can't stay healthy now. I'm sure he'll latch on somewhere else, but I would wager it's not going to be with Colorado. Just there's going to be better opportunities for him in other systems. Right now, I think, you know, Bescalone is probably still our first depth man coming up, so... That would probably be the best role we could hope for Daly, but if Escalon has already got that spot and a little bit of a track record and an inside track at a major league job to start the season, you know, a little tougher for Matt Daly.
That last bullpen spot could also be Josh Renicki's as well.
True, true.
Really quickly to change the subject back to running into random people wearing uniforms of Rockies players. There was a game I went to with Matt in 2010. I don't know if he mentioned this to you, but we ran into like at least 20 people who were all wearing Baltimore Orioles Melvin Mora jerseys, and we never figured out who they were exactly, but there was just this huge group of people that were just all standing on the concourse dressed up as Melvin Mora.
Were they all like Venezuelan looking people?
Yeah, most of them.
Well, I bet they're just his fan club, because honestly, when David Abisher, he was a goaltender for the Colorado Avalanche for a while, he's Swiss, and there's not many Swiss players, and so he actually had a contingent of Swiss fans who come to the U.S. every year just to watch him play a few games in the Pepsi Center.
Huh, it was just interesting, because I wouldn't have expected, like, maybe there's a Carlos Gonzalez fan club, but, because he was so new to the team and so forth, they didn't even have Colorado Rockies jerseys. It was just they were clearly in the Melvin Mora camp. So, yeah, it was just kind of a funny thing to see.
Totally.
Okay, back to the upcoming offseason.
Right now we don't know much. But we just talked about the minor league cuts right there. Or the players who were just outrighted, but there's probably going to be at least one or two more players who aren't coming back, and this is barring trades right now because...
Could be even more than that. It's tough to tell simply because, you know, at this point, the only thing that outrighting procedure did by cutting those six players was open up room basically for everybody else who's on the disabled list to come back. It was basically just getting rid of that roster crunch, but we're still going to have an even full roster, and the waiver claim of Andrew Brown, by the way, is going to screw that up again all over again. So yeah, we do need to get rid of more players because we just before we did all that outrighting, we had such an absurd amount of people assigned to major league contracts. We had like 49 players on MLB contracts. And it's going to have to happen sooner than the tender deadline as well if we want to protect anybody. We still have to make even more cuts. We're going to have the free agents leave. We're going to decline Aaron Cook's option. That opens up four spots. We activate everybody. We still need to make like two or three more releases or outrights before we even worry about non-tendering anybody. So it's kind of going to come in stages over the next few weeks here.
Probably, yeah. I guess the... most noteworthy part, though, will be major league players who aren't going to be coming back next season. And the two most obvious ones here, and I personally am pretty convinced that Ryan Spilborg is not back next year and has no business being back next year. Granted, he was hurt for part of the season, but he's been on a relatively steady decline, both in fielding numbers and in batting numbers. And he's a fun jokester, and he's a great clubhouse guy, but there's just not much room on a team that's trying to rebuild itself and get back to winning form for a declining, you know, guy like Ryan Spilborg.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, the next guy who's a likely not to come back, but there's still a chance you could see him again, would be Aaron Cook, who has a mutual option with the club, which will almost assuredly be declined by the club.
If they pick up that option, they're insane.
There's no, I mean, it's what, 9.5 million?
No, it's 11.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Pretty much as close to guaranteed a declined option as you can. It's a mutual option. Cook would be stupid not to activate his own half, but if either one of us says no, he's gone. And so at this point, I think it's all but official that's going to happen. If they want to have any room to play with their budget this offseason, trades or not, that's kind of a necessity right there.
Absolutely.
So yeah, there's not much. I mean, this is the rough part of the offseason, folks. We decided to make a podcast just to kind of check in, let you know that we're all still alive and stuff like that, and let you hear a little bit from our friend Paul here. It's right now we're in the.
By the way, Cardinals game update: 11-6. Albert Pujols 3-run home run, doing what he does.
About time.
There you go. Sorry, go on.
No, that's fine. We had one particular episode where I was watching Olympic hockey and just burst out freaking out in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah, so I still remember that because it scared me to death.
It'd be better if it was Olympic curling, but I guess hockey's good.
Curling, oh man, can you, okay, we're not going to the Winter Olympics right now. I will talk about it for hours. But seriously though, I mean, I was talking with Matt on the way to this party that I'm actually sitting at right now while we're talking. Yeah, that's right, folks. I'm podcasting during a social gathering. I am just
nerd.
Planet. Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. But, we're just kind of saying, wow, if you think about it, the teams out of the entire team that went to the World Series, the World Series active roster in 2007, four of them are still here.
And we're talking about getting rid of two of them or something, right?
Spielberg and Cook, yeah.
After those two are gone, there are still four guys who were on this.
Oh, okay.
Troy Tulowitzki.
Right.
That's an obvious one. Todd Helton.
Iannetta.
Chris Iannetta, yep. And how am I forgetting my own trivia answer? Not third base. It's not one of the outfielders. Crap, I forgot my own answer.
Like Herrera or something? No, not Herrera.
No, not Herrera.
Herrera was promoted in 08, so no.
Oh, wait, because it's been too late to respond.
Seth Smith.
Thank you, Seth Smith.
I remember him.
Yeah. Well, that's because he was pinch hitter extraordinaire, and the argument wasn't, Smith should be starting. And it was just, wow, this guy is completely on fire and batting 600. Let's go ahead and keep him on the roster.
And the only reason I remembered that was because he made the final out.
Yeah, oh, boy, stupid Papelbon. So I was there that game watching Papelbon celebrate, and oh boy, if I had a gun. just saying, okay?
You're just a little trigger happy today. Series.
It wasn't even good baseball. By the way, I think Andrew Brown is going to be an awesome platoon partner for Seth Smith if we still start the season with Seth Smith. So I'm excited about that pickup.
You think he's going to make the opening day roster?
I mean, I don't know, but judging by what I've seen about his for his numbers against, you know, lefties and stuff like that, the guy isn't the best player, but he knows how to cream lefty pitchers.
I suppose if we do non-tender Spielborgs, there's going to be an opening for an outfielder there, but I was thinking Charlie Blackmon was going to be getting that spot, but he's not really a platoon candidate for Smith.
No, he's not a lefty.
Exactly.
You're going to get Ty Wigginton in the outfield, and you're going to like it. That's what we're going to watch next year. And that's one of, I mean, I just know what's going to happen. I mean, granted, they could have just snuck this platoon partner in without me realizing it, and, you know, maybe have their master plan. I mean, it's again, everything right now is just speculation, because outside of the guys that were 99% sure are not coming back, like Cook and Spilly, The rest of it's like, well, we could do this, we could inquire on this player, we could think about trading for this guy, stuff like that. And right now, we can have wait for the Denver beat to start tweeting things about, like, well, the Rockies were kind of interested in this one guy for a little while, but then the moon realigned itself, and they're like, oh, we're not interested anymore. And it's all just like, hey, there's no news, and we're just going to, you know, say things, and then, you know, not that they're making things up. But
the Rangers offered Michael Young to the Rockies again, but then pulled him away again just for kicks.
Just
yeah,
cheat.
That would, oh, boy.
They're jerks.
So were we actually in line before they pulled out to trade him for Blackman and Eric Young? Was that actually true?
Based off of what we heard, yeah, right. I think that.
Yeah,
was...
I mean, you said Nolan Ryan pulled the trip. Put,
yeah,
the plug on it.
It was the Rangers who pulled the plug, but
yeah,
I just never I wanted to confirm that it was just those two players.
Yeah,
I would have agreed to that.
Well, there's also Michael Young's contract to think about and stuff like that. I think there was something else going on there, but like ultimately, we can just basically point it out to Nolan Ryan pulled the plug on the contract and or on the trade, and I don't think he pulled it on it for like transaction fairness reasons, but just more, you know, heart and soul of the team, longest tenured active guy, stuff like that. You know,
yeah.
It's tough to move a guy like that. It sucks that he's all disgruntled and things like that, especially when they brought in Beltre. But I mean, he's in the World Series now. Like, shut the hell up, dude.
Yeah, I didn't hear any real displeasure from him after the season started and they were doing well. So
I think he made it pretty clear: either keep me or don't keep me. But let's get this over with already, would you? And. Now, and then they tried to get it over with and didn't happen. He's like, all right, cool, I'm a Ranger, let's do this. And, you know, honestly speaking, for as good of a season as he did have, I don't think he would have put the Rockies over the top this season. I'm just saying.
Yeah, there were certainly a lot of other problems.
What?
Could he also pitch, play third, catch, and manage the team? Because then it might have been feasible.
What do we need a catcher for? Chris, I know it was fine this year. Oh,
yeah,
didn't play.
So if he's not, if he can't manage the team, then he'll have to catch because Iannetta won't get the starts. You know, some sort of weird scenario where he needs to do everything.
I like it. Although I also like the idea of like having Todd Helton player manage or something like that, but
that would be cool.
Let's hire Brad Ausmus. How's that sound? Can we just not have Jim Tracy on this team anymore?
Oh God, yes.
Well, we're at 32 minutes. If you want to rant on Jim Tracy really quick, go for it.
I do not have energy to rant about Jim Tracy tonight. I'll just get too angry.
Okay, this is fair enough. I mean, we haven't actually talked much about Jim Tracy. I think it would be an interesting discussion because I don't lean pro Jim Tracy necessarily, but I'm a lot less worried about him coming back next year than you are.
Well, it's because I know he's coming back next year, and I'm trying to come to peace with it because I know next year's going to be a waste of a season anyways, so we might as well let him run the team under the ground again, and then hopefully is exposed for being a terrible manager, and that's the end of the story with him right there, but who knows? I mean, knowing the way my luck goes with these things, on opening day, they're going to announce that he gets a 2-year extension, and I will cry.
Well, on that very optimistic, positive note, I think it's time we headed out for the day. Andrew has a party to get to. Paul, thanks for tagging along today.
No problem. My pleasure.
And unless either of you guys has anything else to add here in the next few minutes, do you?
All I know is that I left jalapeno stuff with cream cheese wrapped in bacon to do this, so
y'all
better feel special.
For the love of God, Andrew, go back to it.
Why didn't you take it with you? I mean, you've eaten everything else in the middle of recording this podcast.
That's true. I have had many a meal in the middle of recording.
I'll never forget that time when you were munching on Twizzlers the whole time, and everybody in the podcast could hear it and was asking what you were eating.
It's such a quiet food in general. You don't think about it being all like crunchy and stuff or whatever chewy sound is, but look, I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry.
Okay, fair enough. As long as it doesn't happen again.
Well, it hasn't happened yet again, so there.
Okay, well, we will be back. When will we be back?
No promises. No promises. It could be next week. It could be a month from now. You don't know. You just don't know.
This could be the last one. No, probably not. Probably be back. I mean, last off season we were about one episode a month. We'll either do one or two. So we'll be back in early November sometime, I would guess. Try to keep you updated on that as opposed to just kind of disappear for 3 weeks like we just did. But sometimes real life gets in the way and you can't just fool around while recording a podcast.
True story.
All right, guys. Thanks again. And we'll be back again in early November. All right. Until then, take care.